The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. If you can believe it, it's the 24th of August already, and everybody's talking back to school, the whole thing. I'm like, I remember back in those days, I'd be sitting there like, oh, God, I got 15 days, I'm back at school. But you know what? That's just a part of life. It's amazing. And one good thing here in the Northeast, like everywhere, it'll be getting cool. It's been beautiful the last few days. Monday night to train felt almost like it was a cool down. It was so nice. For a change, it wasn't 105, it was 102. So, you know, we will cool down, even though they're talking more humidity at the end of the week. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. It's a free ebook. Download it. Commit to it. Take action. Also, strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. Like I said, the two biggest products we've done to date, the content is very big there, very easy to digest, very easy to implement. And, you know, if you really want to take a chance on yourself and get some no-nonsense stuff, we got it sitting there. So check both of those products out. Also, motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Today we got our good friend John Bruni on with us, and John's on with us every month. And we did a great show prior to this one called Top Down, which has really got a lot of attention. Go out and check out all the shows I've done with John, especially go out and check out our latest one with him, Top Down. If you love power rack training and you want to really get some real-world experience here, nothing that's going to confuse you or convolute anything you're doing. If you want to take some super-duper power work, check that show out. Also, I always say this in the beginning, we are now streaming 24/7 live, which is huge. We're out all over the place. Google Play Music, TuneIn, Shoutcast, Aha, that's for your car. All the cars now have the capability to get podcasting in. It's AHA is where you can find us, Aha. And I think that's it. But today, we got John Bruni on with us today, and I'm going to give you a little information about this gentleman. He's a strongman, author, motivational speaker, pastor, and writer. And where I discovered John was Milo Magazine, and he's a regular writer for Randall Strassen. And we're going to talk about some this is going to kind of coincide because I know we're going to hit Power Rack. We're going to talk about a favorite thing I just told John off air. There was a guy in my neighborhood who was a pretty big dude, and as kids, we all know whether it's superheroes or somebody in the neighborhood or both that impress you, and I'm glad he was around because that impressed us, besides a few other things, to get in the weights, and I've never looked back. Today, we're going to talk about a thing he used to talk about, building coconut shoulders. I always loved that verse, coconut shoulders. So, John, welcome to the show, and congrats. The last show was smoking, man.
Well, you know, we have a great audience, and so I feel like we're scratching an itch, Eric, that people have. And they're hungry for something real because we live in such a phony culture. You know, people are looking at how can I really make gains, you know, without paying the $19.99 DVD. You know, they're looking at what's the real, how do I grow, you know, emotionally, spiritually, physically, through what's going on. And this is absolutely true. So one of the things that we're talking about today is this whole coconut shoulders. If there was ever something that separates, you know, the men from the boys, the ladies from the girls, it's having this broad shoulder. The look, you can't disguise it. When somebody has broad shoulders, you can tell that they do real work. And what's interesting about the shoulders is it's the easiest way to improve your physique as well as performance at the same time. I mean, you get stronger shoulders, everything else comes up. You know, it's like training the hands, these little links in the body. And one of the things, too, is the shoulders, by natural, if you're a big guy like me, what's interesting is the wide shoulders actually will improve your appearance drastically, even if that's not what you're training for. But the shoulders are just so key in so many things. I just had a great conversation. I'm just getting back from the Health and Strength Conference, the Dragon Door Health and Strength Conference in Minneapolis. And we just had a whole tremendous time talking with the coaches and the people behind the scenes about shoulder health, because it is such an issue for so many people.
Well, you know, it's something really interesting when you speak of shoulder health. I got a lot of the old Iron Man magazines, you know, a la Perry Rader, which to me, you know, king. I mean, there's just so much going on. And every now and then I like to just kind of go through them and look through, because, you know, you can never read articles enough and, you know, you miss stuff. So I went through, let's see, what year is this one? July 1986, which is a relatively new one, but he still had the good stuff. They had a big article on shoulder rehab by Bill Starr. What an excellent article. And I'll tell you what, I've been doing these movements now for a few weeks, and I've got the book open right in front of me. And it was very interesting, and he talks about four of the movements that he did with this athlete called Davey. And I'm just going to read a few off, and we'll get right into everything. What he did for this circuit before he trained, and he used light dumbbells, as he made us made sure we knew this, he did front raises, lateral raises, seated dumbbells, and curls. Well, what it ended up going on, of course, they progress, and I do believe, I don't know, without reading the whole article out loud, they kept it around 20 reps, you know, initially. Then they started doing cleans and presses. And now if I can go through here quickly, I do believe this gentleman was using, he was cleaning and pressing a pair of 80 pounders in each hand because he got so damn healthy through there. I can tell you this, two things from this. And I've been doing a number of things. A number of people have helped me with all different things. I'll tell you this, I haven't been able to get my shoulder blades together without stuff going on for a long time. I can sit here now and snap my shoulder blades together, no problem. Now, I don't think that's not doing a lot for me, because I told Joe before, or John, excuse me, John, before I told John before we came on, you know, we were talking about top down. Well, I didn't do a top down the other night. I did middle down. With the idea that I know the weight I want to hit. Now, I'm doing close grips with it mainly because I'm working the middle of the pec, because it really has a lot of influence for stone walking. Now, not a lot of weight, but it's a lot of weight when you haven't been able to load your shoulder like this. And remember, I'm doing everything dead stop. I figure I've got to come down about 4 inches to lay it on my chest to press it dead off there. But I went with 320. I did 10 singles. They were rapid, they were strong, there was no incidence of anything going on with the shoulder. And basically, between doing those four movements and body weight, I got to tell you, today's second day, I'll be ready tomorrow night, because I've got a very big stone routine to do. And I'm going to tell you this, John, and we'll go right into stuff, but this kind of goes with everything. I know you like this stuff. You know, I'm going to work on the top down, even though it's more middle down with the bench. We'll get there as fast as we can. But tomorrow night, I've never done this. I am going to do a top down with a Hoosa steel stone. Well, you know what the nice thing is, brother? I can put those rods anywhere in that rack, and I can put that platform that snaps right to those rods on. And I could lift that. I could have it up by my chin and lift it if I want like that. But I know I'm going to probably go to a little above waist or a little higher and just see how it feels. Potentially, it could be a 500-pound lift tomorrow night. I don't know yet. I've already got some ideas in my head. And it, as much as it's a pain in the butt to keep pulling the stone out and putting it on another piece of equipment to hold it while I change the rods and the platform in the rack, I've never done it like that, but it's almost going to be like doing three different phases of barbell work dead stop. So we're going to be going low, medium, and top. What do you think about that?
I love it, brother. I love it.
It's fun, man. I can't wait to report on it. It's going to be great. But all those things just accentuate shoulders, upper back. I mean, you're right on the money, too. You can always tell a lifter or an athlete by their shoulders, male or female. And I was telling John in the beginning, for anybody that's not sure or they've never heard of him, or go out and look. Go out and look about at a guy named Don Holworth. He was Vince Guaranda trained him, I believe, in might have been the late 60s, early 70s. You know, he was all of that big era with, you know, Arnold and Franco and all them. But he was always known for his shoulders. I'm going to look for a picture. If I can find it, I'll even put it up on Facebook. Because the picture I'm looking at, Vince Guaranda, I don't know who, you know, I don't know about shirts now. But back in the day, he used to put out a blue tank top, and it would say Vince's Gym on the front in white. That's the shirt that Don was wearing. And when you see him, if you can find that picture, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. John, I mean, you're all the way around with as far as shoulder work, you know, upper back, all that. Well, tell some of the listeners, I mean, we, you know, and I like, because we've never really done a bench show, and I want to do one with you because of how you bench with your fellow lifters, but, you know, the ingenuity you've used and how you handle these monster weights. Tell everybody, I mean, what's some of the things that you like to really influence the shoulders, keep the health of it? And obviously, man, that shoulder girdle is paramount to really doing some heavy lifting, especially pulling or rowing or anything like that. So take it away.
Well, let me tell you two things. One, the shoulders are so important to train. You know, a lot of people don't do it. They think they just get a lot of indirect work.
Yep.
And they do, but to bring balance, especially to the backs of the shoulders, you know, I'm not going to get technical with a lot of terms today because I want people just to put things into practice.
Yeah, yeah.
But we are very, what I call anterior shoulder motivated. We all have pressed and pressed and pressed from the supine position. But learning to really get healthy shoulders, you're going to have to do some things such as overhead, some laterals. You're going to have to train. And one of the things I like to talk about is you have to train the shoulder from every possible angle. Because the angle that you don't is going to be the point of weakness, and that's where you're going to get injured. And so it's a key factor. Right now, I'm really working on my shoulder mobility. My left side, I've had an impingement for a while that I'm working out. And it was funny because I was talking to Dan John. He was talking about the lack of mobility. I've got huge shoulders, but right now I'm struggling with some mobility because I have trained the big muscles for so long that the patterns and grooves, I need to continue to challenge myself again to look at some new angles. And I consider myself somebody who trains from many, multiple angles. So one of the things we want to talk about is making sure that we do the posterior side of the shoulder. You know, it's not just the press. I will say, though, the best shoulder health I've ever had in my life is when I was kettlebell pressing every single day of the week. For a while, I did that for almost a year. And it was different weights, different days. You know, some days I was going extremely heavy. Some days I was going extremely light, but I had made that commitment for about a year to press every single day. And if I couldn't, I was doing handstand push-ups or something to stimulate that shoulder girdle. But the key thing we want to talk about, first of all, is if you want big shoulders, you got to train shoulders. it seems so elementary, and yet so many people don't realize it. It's like John Brookfield and I were talking about one time. Somebody, you know, said, what's the best exercise for a field goal kicker? And he said, kick a field goal.
You know?
That's what it's about. And so if I was going to start anybody out, if you haven't done it on a regular basis, I would start out with the heavy dumbbell or heavy kettlebell press. Why? Because it begins to train some grooves that are going to hit the shoulders in a different way. You're going to find more of the balance muscles have to come into play. What I call the stabilizers have to kick in. Now, I love, if you want to get big fast, you know, you can do heavy presses out of the rack with a barbell. Love that movement. When you want to start challenging, go ahead.
No, I agree. Now, here's something very interesting. This is why I want to run by it, because we talk about this all the time. I found with myself, especially with a lot of shoulder health, because look, I never had any shoulder stuff till last year. I mean, I've been training a long time. You know, you get your bumps and bruises and all that. I went back. Well, John McKean helped me with stuff. We had Chris Melton with. He was on. He's got a great product called the Rotator. He sent me one, et cetera, et cetera. All good stuff. Donnie Gianfardino of 8X Club sent me a club because his shoulders were destroyed from benching, and he got them back, obviously, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll tell you what. I think if you practice things in a dead stop fashion, you know, you're talking about overhead. You know, you got a power rack, you can light them right off the rods. It does. There's two things that I like about that, and I'll get into the other movement. I like anything with shoulder work, but the two main things, if you learn how to do these things correctly, you can be a beast. I mean, you'll build shoulders, shoulder girdle, doing something dead stop like nothing else, but it's going to be a patient process. And it's going to be very severe on your shoulder girdle. I mean, on everything. You know, you are getting nothing. You're not getting, you can use a little bit of leg whip when it gets heavy, but pretty much, man, you're locked in and you're straight arming that thing straight up. Secondly, another thing that I really like, I can never say enough about the clean and press, but with dumbbells, you can use an Olympic bar and do it. I'm all for it. I love pressing a log overhead. But if you're going to tell me to narrow it to one, it would be a dead stop press in the rack. I think there's a lot less chance of getting hurt, too, because I'm just going by everything I've done with that stuff, whether it's squatting, floor pressing. Obviously, we know deadlifts you pull from the floor, but you also pull them at all different heights in the rack. You can do isometric holds, et cetera, et cetera. I think if you're looking for a way to get very strong very quickly, but having the discipline to know how to do things properly, you can build mass. And I'm talking, you know, a lot of people won't use that word. They equate, mass, they're like, you're fat. Well, look, not every guy cares about having a six-pack and a girl's waist, and basically their arms are bigger than their thighs, all right? I draw the line there, and that stuff doesn't bother me anyways. I want to get as strong and as big and as powerful and enduring as I can. You know, let's face it, I don't want to wait 100 years for it, but if I've got to wait 10 years, but in the meantime, every year I'm getting bigger, stronger, and better, good. I know it's a lifetime because I've already feel like I've done it a lifetime, and there's nothing wrong with it. That's what you want to do. But John, that's what I mean, that's me. I was taught by a lot of the guys down at the old YMCAs. They were all either behind the neck pressing seated, big dumbbell guys. I mean, I'm talking dumbbells that looked like they've been thrown through a shredder. They were just beat, but you know what? They worked. All mismatched plates, the whole deal. I'll be honest with you. I wish I could capture that in time right now and be who I am now and walk into the YMCA as I was at a 12-year-old. But go ahead, take it. Go ahead.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. A good place, you know, if you want to build fast, the key is press out of the rack. But as you get stronger, here's what's happening, and this is what I talked about actually at the conference. As your body gets smarter, you have to throw new challenges at it. And here's one of the things I talk about all the time. You know, we see it. People give up after they get a diploma. They stop working or they get a college degree. Well, they stop learning. Well, the body is the same way. Once you built up this baseline of strength, and for everybody it's going to be different. I think it's based a little bit on your personal weight, your body type, but there is a baseline of strength that you know kind of when you've hit these certain baseline levels, and that could be a whole show in itself, talking about what is a good baseline of strength for your body type. But once you've built that, what happens is this, is we become kind of lazy. Even though we're pushing ourselves during the workouts, what I have found, especially in the overhead press, one of the stronger sides can easily compensate over the other side when you're using a barbell. You get this baseline of strength and you get comfortable. For instance, a lot of people are stronger on their right side and they can actually compensate with that right side on a barbell and actually, you know, not being pushing that left side of the body. And so once you get extremely strong in that standing overhead press, and I like to do it from a standing position. I know there's all kinds of people who would rather sit. I just think it develops the body in a much different way by actually standing and doing it.
Yeah.
Then I would like to see people switch for a while to the dumbbell press and the kettlebell press. Now, they hit a little bit differently, the shoulder a little differently. It's really interesting to see how a dumbbell press, when done right, hits that whole entire shoulder girdle down the middle, whereas a kettlebell tends to hit different sides as it's going up, and the leverage is a little different. But what I like about it is each side has to compensate or has to pull its own weight. The weaknesses, here's the best way to describe it. This show is all about destroying your weaknesses. And when you begin to do that, those weaknesses become apparent, and then you can attack them viciously until they become strengths.
I agree. And you know something? You've just brought up a great thing. I know you and I have talked about this. This is why I went to one-sided training. And a lot of people are like, you know, I've never done anything like that. That's a different concept. I said, I'm sure there's somebody in the world that has done it through time, but I've never heard anybody really talk about it, you know, openly. And one of the things I do, one of the workouts I do is it'll be a push, a pull, and a push. So I love doing squats, as everybody knows, dead stop, but I do it in a little different variation. Okay, let's say I'm a righty, so my left side to me is always going to be weaker. And normally, like you said, the right side, if you're righty, will compensate for everything. So what I do is the same thing I do with everything. I use an Apollon axle, though, to do this. I do a one-legged – well, both legs are involved, but all the weight is over on, let's say, the left shoulder for the night. So, you know, you got to compensate quite a bit right there because you got to, you know, wrap your arms, your hands around the bar, and you've got to blow it off the pins. All right, I do that. Then I love doing the one-arm bent row. I brace myself against a keg, but here's the twist. I use a 2-inch handle.
Yeah.
It has nothing. It has. Go ahead, John. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying I love it. Keep going. I love the handle because that's going to engage more muscle fiber.
Absolutely. And I'm putting an awful lot of stress on a deltoid that, you know, was hurt. So it also, in some instances, is going to limit the weight. But I can also explain that you can do anything with steel. You know, use your imagination. What I'll do, say I want to lift that thing a little bit heavier because I won't use straps or anything for that stuff. I refuse to. You put your 2-inch handle through a set of 35s or a set of 45s. Suddenly that beast is elevated. Or you can put a number of mats. You could lift it off a cinder block. All these things. So I'm never limited with what weight I want to use. The thing I like, just like John said, you're going to engage more muscle, more tendon, more ligament, more endurance because a muscle that is going to get stronger and stronger, especially when you're putting that load on your hand and everything else, has got to become a more enduring muscle, all right? And then last but not least, my all-time favorite is that apparatus I designed where you slip the rods through each hole, and it goes the width of the power rack, and it basically goes end-to-end with a center where you put your dumbbell right in there, and you put your hand up through the center and press it anywhere you want. So if you want to brace your – say you're pressing with your right hand, you can brace your left hand right against one of the posts in the power rack. And I'll tell you why I do that. John was talking about more muscle. What do you think you're engaging with that hand you're not pressing with? See, all these little tricks, the bracing, the free hand, I take my free hand and wrap it as hard as I can around the position that I'm in to press right around that, I'll call it the pillar of the power rack. I'm telling you right now, you'll get off there with both hands after you pressed it, and I don't know which one will look more pumped up. All right, so those are the three movements I would do. That would be one setup I do with the one-sided training. Now, let me tell you something. You want to get big, you want to have coconut delts, you want to have a back, traps, rhomboids, spinal erectors. I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm telling where it'll hit you right down to your hamstrings, man. This is the stuff, this is the key to building all that might and muscle we always talk about. All those, you know, when you walk down the street, people can't help looking at you because your shoulders look like they're about 65 inches across, man. And even guys, look at these guys. There's a lot of guys that are very powerful through the midsection, but they don't have that small taper. I mean, even with a bigger waist, their waist still looks small on them, all right? But yet, they have the power through the midsection to generate more power overhead because they're not worried about a 28-inch waist on a male, all right? I'm not saying have a waist where you got fat hanging all over you. That's not healthy either. But you look at a lot of the old-timers. They had very good midsections. They didn't have these tiny waists, and you look at them, and they had that flare with the lats, and it looked like the lats went on forever right into the bottom of the armpit or right into the armpit itself. And then you look at those damn shoulders, and when you got shoulders and a neck, I mean, that's what I always say. You know, someone's got shoulders and neck, they have no neck. But it's a thing of beauty. It's, you know, when we talk about power and strength, there you go, man. When we talk, go ahead, man. I'm getting too fired up, dude.
All right, well, you're getting me jacked up, too, because one of the things you want to talk about is,
yeah,
if you want big shoulders, you have to train them from all the different angles. And one of the secrets to shoulder training is learning to train the back effectively. Once you have knocked these things out, you've done your heavy pressing, you've done all these different what I call variations of presses. One of the things you have to do is hit those posterior delts. Because what people don't understand is you've got three sides to the shoulder, you know. You've got the anterior, the lateral, the posterior, and you want to make those things stand out. A lot of people, when they just first start training those posterior delts, they realize, wow, my whole shoulder is growing. Well, what it is just they've neglected it for so long, they don't realize. You know, it's just like if somebody wants bigger arms and they've just trained their biceps forever, they realize, oh, wait, there's that big head of the triceps. The bigger my triceps are, the bigger it's going to make my biceps look. You know, people don't realize that. And you've got to do some kind of rowing. And what I like to do, and you can make this, this is not, even though it's a popular bodybuilding move, it's for the health of your shoulders and you need to be doing it. And that is the bent over reverse fly. You know, everything that we do forward, and I talk about this all the time. If you, the great Marty Gallagher, we were just demonstrating exercise cross core the other day, which is a whole show in itself. But when you do the bench press, you have to do the reverse of the bench press. When you're doing, you know, all these frontal raises and everything, you have to work the back also. And one of the most effective way I've ever seen doing that is doing that with the reverse fly. Again, it's key not only to your shoulders, but your mid-back health. And guys that start doing these things, you know, when they plug this exercise in over a period of time, what I find almost instantly is all of their other pressing movements go up because they built stability and some symmetry there. And that's a key factor. You know, a lot of guys, you know, they just press. And I love the press. There's nobody in this world that loves to press more than I do. Maybe you. but I love it because it gets our testosterone flowing and we're jacked out of our minds. But sometimes it's training these small muscle groups that have been neglected that are going to bring those big muscle groups up. And if you want to have coconut delts, of course, we're going to have to talk about the lateral in a moment. But you have got to do some kind of reverse movement. And one of the best ones is that reverse fly. And there's all kinds of creative ways to do that. Why don't you jump on that for a second?
Sure.
Your thoughts.
I'll tell you what. I've done flies. I've never done reverse flies, to be honest with you. I never have. That's going to be something now after the show I'm going to have to look at. I've got an hour before Bill Hinburn. I'm going to eat lunch, and then I'm going to go out, and I'm going to do some reverse flies. I'll tell you what, though, John, when I talked about in the beginning – those four movements that Bill Starr wrote about, I want to tell anybody, I mean, give those a try. I mean, right now, my shoulders feel like dynamite. And you know, obviously not the heaviest bench in the world, but over a 300-pound dead-stop bench, I mean, it's respectable even at midpoint or a little below. I can't wait to get in on again because I have an idea I'm going to do with it as a warm-up, where I'm going to match it up where it'll be right on my chest at a very light weight. It might not be any more than 145, but I'm going to go back and forth with that, the squat pull-up, back and forth, warm, keep going. Because the idea, one of the things they were talking about in the article, and, you know, most of us know this anyways, but I think we have a tendency to forget it because we want to train so damn heavy all the time and low reps, et cetera, et cetera. You know, that's one of the things they're talking about. This is the deal. Go out and nail a lot of blood volume in there. Don't worry about the weight so much. Concentrate on the form. Concentrate on pumping a lot of blood volume into the movement itself. And, you know, as everybody knows, when you do that, that's healing right there. That's cleaning the bloodstream out of a lot of the toxins and the debris that we put out in our system when we train. And not only that, my premise with everything now, John, is this. You know, I don't know if we talked about it on the last show. I've been doing a special type of warm-up with a 2-inch of pollen. I've had super success because, you know, as you bring up a lot, and it's very important to remind everybody, you have to engage your central nervous system. And by that, I don't mean beating it through the floor either. But you can take it places where you can push the boundaries, but just you step back another 5 feet and you haven't killed it. And what I found is not only with the thick bar, but when I go out and tomorrow night and get into, you know, the back and forth between the squat pull-up body weight and the flat bench dead stop. It's going to be a floor press, obviously, because I don't lay on a bench. I am going to engage my body through the blood flow, which is going to be insane, and I'm going to fire my CNS as hard as I can because the first movement, as I told John, I don't know if I said this online or offline, I am going to run the Hoosa Steel Stone from the highest point I ever have in my life. Why? What did we talk about on last month's show? We talked about top down. I am now going to implement top down with the Hoosa Steel Stone, at least one of them. It's going to be very, very, very let me put it this way. I can't wait to engage it tomorrow. I'm very excited about it, and I can't wait to tell people about it because there's so many stone lifters now that have come aboard because of these shows that this is going to be another wrinkle that you can do. And I mean, and I'm not going to get off this too much, but we're talking about back and lats and all that John and I are going to go into. Just think what you're doing to your back, lats, traps, rhomboids, hamstrings, your butt, everything. When you're lifting at all these different heights and coming down the ladder every time, you don't think you're getting some seriously big time direct work to everywhere, and you're doing it at a different angle. And the old saying was, like, well, I'll refer back to the guys at the Y, the big guys when we were kids. When you lift something heavy, it does engage. We just talked about CNS. But here's the biggest thing of all, I think. It gives you confidence, man. I mean, if I just ripped a five, I'll make it quick, John, because I really want to get you in here, but I'm just trying to lay this quick. Just think if you're pulling, say, from above your waist, wrapping around a steel stone, and you got 500 pounds loaded between shot and weight. Holy cow. Now you go down 4 more inches. You've just pulled 410, say. You've never pulled it at that point. Now you go down 6 inches above your ankles because we're not pulling anything off the ground with that stone tonight. Okay, so you just crucified 350. Never did that before. You don't think that's going to engage you to the next workout? You're going to walk out of there like you're walking on air. You're going to be so fired up. And it isn't going to matter anything now after that other than taking care of the things you need, maybe some neck. You've already done a ton. I got news for you. The grip and the forearm work just to hold that thing will satisfy you. But maybe you want to go out there and take something thick, maybe a dumbbell. I don't know. Throw 50 pounds on it. Do 100 reps and call it a night. But all that stuff, man, it fires the shit out of you, and you're ready to go the next time. All right, John, I take the floor, brother.
All right, well, a couple quick things.
Yeah.
Do as many kind of pressing movements as you can. Make sure they're heavy. This is the secret. You know, for those who are listening right now, the secret to coconut, you know, shoulders, coconut delts, here comes the secret. The secret sauce that you've been waiting for all show. And we're going to review it right now, baby. Is start out with one heavy pressing movement for your workout. Challenge yourself. So whether that is going to be out of the power rack with a barbell, or for me, for a great variation, is doing the heavy steel log press because of the neutral grip, or whether it is going to be dumbbells or kettlebells. Do that until you can't do any more. And I'm talking about heavy, 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 heavy. You know, the rep scheme again, 5 to 8, because you're using pretty heavy weights.
Yep.
When you are done, we're going to do this tri-set that has been done by all kinds of people. It's going to put blood flow into you. This is one of the bodybuilding movements I really endorse here. After you've trained heavy first, you're going to do this as a finisher, and your shoulders will probably be screaming and crying for mercy. And it's no big secret. Many guys do this, but they fail to do the heavy pressing with it. This is a very popular movement. It's a simple tri-set. You're going to get some dumbbells. They're going to be light. If you want to do a unique variation, you can actually use cables as long as they're heavy enough. But you're just going to do simply this. You're going to go front raise for 8 to 10 to 12 reps, okay, till you feel the burn, that lactic acid burn. That means that there's blood flow going in there. You're going to immediately, with no break, switch to lateral raises. And you do it again until your shoulders start to scream for mercy. Then, with no break, hinge at the hips, okay? So you do the hip hinge and go into the reverse fly, keeping that pinky towards the top. What we talk about is like dumping coffee out of a pitcher or milk out of a carton, okay? That whole idea. Turn those pinkies up on the way up, and once you're done, take a break. Repeat for as many times as you can or until you feel like you've keeled over.
Yep.
You are going to develop shoulders that literally have coconut aspects. People are going to walk by and say, "What are you doing to your shoulders? You know, how can I get that look?" That's the secret sauce right there.
Hey, John, one thing, too, and I want you to continue, because I've done the first two, and I'm going to now try the reverse flies. You do as many sets of those after you've done something real heavy. Your deltoids got to look like they're going to just blow up into the air. I mean, I can't imagine the blood flow alone and the tightness through everything, and I mean tightness in a good way, and the muscularity's got to be through the roof.
Yeah, and what I love about this too, you know, great thing, you're talking about all this blood flow, so you're cleansing, you're healing, but you're getting the best of two things in this workout. The heavy pressing brings the testosterone, and we need that test. I mean, we're all about that test. I don't care if you're a man or a woman, you want that boost of testosterone. The second part of this workout brings the growth hormone. It's proven time and time again, the more lactic acid you can get flowing in there, and that's what that burn is, that lactate. That whole process, and you can read about it many, many places on the internet, you know, do some research to why it works. But when you have that lactic acid burn, then you're releasing the growth hormone. So you're getting the 1-2 punch. You're getting the test. You're getting the growth hormone. So you're getting bigger, stronger, better. And at the same time, you're fighting against age and burning fat and all these great aspects because you're getting that 1-2 punch hormonally. And again, that's one of the biggest benefits of lifting weights is it changes your hormones.
Yes. Is there anything really negative about this stuff? I don't see anything. I mean, I just think that people make mistakes and they get down on it and get down on themselves. But let me tell you, there is nothing out there that's like this stuff. I mean, you can build – think about it. You realize – I don't know if people really realize how great this is. You have an opportunity to take what's been given you by God and your parents, and you get a chance to build it, man. You get a chance to morph into what you want. You get a chance to become as strong and as powerful as you want. These words I'm saying right now doesn't fire you right up. I'm sitting here like holding my hands together, man, because it's just like I want to get loose on something right now. It's like what a gift, man. You can build coconut shoulders. You can build a barnyard back, wide back, like they used to say. Oak tree legs. I mean, feet that, everything. Holy cow, man. And you can have that steel look in your eyes, but still be the most genuine, thought-producing, solution person, and just a decent person to people out there. What a luxury we got. And weightlifting is the only thing that's ever going to get you there. John, did you want to go into lat work or anything like that? Or are we getting near time, or what do you want to do?
Well, I think, that can be a whole nother show because the back, you train it from so many different angles, everything from weighted pull-ups to weighted hangs to rows to all our row variations, I love it. I love it. Training the scap, these are all aspects that are going to lead into your shoulders. But I find that people take something, if they took the secret sauce workout right there, ran with it.
Yep.
Then we can take it and develop it even further. But that's what I'm saying. I've been guilty of this too many times, Eric, of giving people like 1,000 things to work on instead of one area.
It's too much, sauce, man. Right.
They've come with that secret sauce. They're going to have some coconuts. I mean, I tell you what, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, it is. And, we know, I was saying to John in the beginning, and we even said it here, there's so many things we can talk about here. I mean, we've never really talked about bench pressing, which he's a specialist with, and he's got all kinds of great stuff. This top-down series we just did with John, one show, it struck a chord with all the listeners out there, our family. There's many things that we definitely like and we do. And, I'll tell you what, man, just giving him those three movements – with something very heavy overhead, and you can be your best judge what you're good at. And you know what's even better? Do something overhead you're not good at. Improve there. That to me is a sign of somebody that's damn serious. That, when we talk about testosterone, well, you want to build testosterone, go out and do something that you're not real good at and just take the shot on yourself. And no matter what happens, you come back until that becomes your best movement. That's going to be my secret sauce to give you today, because that's not talked enough about. Too many people drop out. Too many people are like, okay, well, I'm not good at it. I've only been doing it for 2 weeks, so I quit. None of that here. There's a few things, and I'll get right back to you, John, and we'll finish up, brother. There's a few things here that I will not tolerate. Number one is, I'll give it a try. You say that to me, you leave. I will not tolerate it. It'll never work for you. And if you're already thinking that way, there's no way you're going to improve. I mean, no matter what I tell you, you're going to go back to that. I hate to say it. Maybe we can change it, maybe we can't, but I don't like to listen at all. And another thing is, you get people that come, they shake their head, yes, you to death. But, it's not getting through to them, and if it is, you can kind of read it on them that they're not going to buy in. You can't have that around you. And a thing that happened the other day, which really bothered me, I've had this a few times with a few people, is they quit on you. No quitters in this camp. I understand you can have, you get injured, you can have an off day, but if you're physically healthy enough to do things outside of the gym, when you come in the gym, you got to be prepared and ready to go. So those are the things that I look for in people. You know, you don't have to agree with everything and you don't have to do everything I do, but I do believe, especially with the show, everybody here, especially like John and I are talking about, who doesn't want to have big, huge shoulders? Think about what we said. Take us up on it. And like I always say, send me a note. John always get. There's always a way you get a hold of John through Facebook. He gives that out, and we'll have him give it out at the end of the show. Your potential is there. And not enough people are telling you that. And you've been hearing how you can't do it for the last 25 years. And when John and I say stuff, you're probably like, yeah, right. Well, these guys have been doing it forever. I wouldn't care if I started it yesterday. If I really want it, I'm going after it. And I'll get right to John in 1 second. I just want to tell everybody something this. You've heard me talk about Russell Furr, what he said about the show. At the end of the shows, I always say it. And Russell now comes on the show because he's a great guy. And he started in his 30s when he started lifting. You'll see the gains this guy's making already. Don't tell me you can't do it. All right, John, summarize anything you want. Give out all your information, your websites, everything. Let me give my stuff out. And if you'd hang on the line, please, I'd appreciate it.
Well, let me tell you one thing, and this is, you hit it on the head. Consistency is the key. There is no shortcuts. Even though there are secrets, they aren't shortcuts. And the biggest secret of all is this consistency that you're talking about. Never stop training. Never stop giving your best. Always be looking to improve every day. And you'll find out over time that you have had a radical transformation, because that's what we are in. We are in the transformation business, not just the change, not just little things. We are in the transformation business. Please get a hold of me on Facebook, which is real easy, just John Bruni. On Twitter, it's at Press the Limit. And then you can also look at submitstrength.com as well as pressingthelimits.com. All kinds of ways to get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to do anything that we can to help you improve, because that's the goal of my life, is to help people transform themselves. And as always, my testosterone is jacked right now because I am on the Motivational and Muscle Podcast, brother.
Hell yeah, man. Hey, you know something? We had Jim Rohn on here. I think that's how he said his name. I hope I didn't pronounce it wrong. And it was the first time he was on, and he's a good, I mean, big kettlebell guy. He's fought MMA, all that stuff. And, you know, he put a very nice note out about the show after. And one thing that struck me more than anything, now, you know, it's like you, and it's like there's a lot of big-name people that come on here that have done monster things. And, you know, it always, I don't know, I guess I'm very humbled by it when I hear it. Yeah, it's Jim Rohn. I just R-O-N-I-G. Awesome guy, and he sends this note out, and it says, "I want to tell everybody that I was just on Motivation Muscle with Eric, and the show was unbelievable." And he says, "I got so fired up, I had to go to the gym and work a whole bunch of kettlebell modalities." And I was like, "You know, what a nice compliment, man!" Just like you said, I mean, it's like, you can take, you know, you and I can sit here and talk about this stuff, and the two of us get so damn fired up, we usually have to go out and do something about it. I hope the audience is as fired up as we are, and I hope the audience, too, understands something right here. Motivation and Muscle is doing some major things, and you might not see everything right now, but you're going to see everything right now. And I can't tell you how honored I am to have everybody being a part of this. I don't know if everybody realizes yet what's going on here and where we've come from nothing and where we are today, and it's going to be bigger and bigger. I'm just very proud of everything here, proud of what I've done here, proud of everybody like yourself, John, who have stuck with me no matter what, support me, support the show, and we do the same for you, and I thank you and everybody else, believe me. It's greatly appreciated. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. It's a free ebook. Piece of cake. You want to commit? What do we talk about here? You want to build coconut shoulders, deltoids? We just gave you the formula, man. We gave you a million ideas to go out, look at, and conquer. Also, to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com. Don't forget to go out to MotivationMuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look at all the shows John and I have done alone. I mean, I can name people. You know, we did a show with Clint Darden the other day that was just insane. I mean, it was unreal, and I got to get that up, too, quickly. The shows just keep getting better and better and better. I mean, whether you've been with me since the beginning, the middle, just brand new, I don't know. It's just I don't know. It's incredible. I don't have an explanation other than I do believe hard work, perseverance, and always believing in excellence in your life has quite a bit to do with this, and I try to do it better and better every day. Don't forget to go out to iTunes and Stitcher and give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten. And as I said, we are a 24/7 streaming radio station now. You can get us on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Shoutcast, and if you have the capabilities for podcasting in your car, AHA, that's AHA, and we are on to many more things. And I have a monster meeting with the woman who was part of this whole podcasting revolution I'm in. And she and I think, are going to be doing some stuff on the side. And she's going to be on here. I was telling John before we came on, Mackenzie Bennett, and I have to get the confirmation from Ray Palermo today. Wait till you hear these two women. I'm telling you, you want to talk. If you ever wanted to build your own podcast show, you got to listen to these two. Extremely knowledgeable. If there's a show you'd like John and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com, and I'll leave you with these five things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them words of wisdom, inspiration. We know five words can change your life. Also, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get for that day. If you're going to go out and lift it, bend it, break it, press it, pull it, squat it, take the stones and turn them into dust, go out and hit them as hard as you can tonight. Also, as a great Hoos of Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We follow no one's. And as I say in everything I write, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Also, no one will ever clip our balls. Because as we said, we need them to produce lots of testosterone. And as Russell Furr says, who's a regular listener, who's been with us since the beginning on M&M, and a guest, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. John Bruni, those are words you always want to hear, brother. Always.
Absolutely.
All I can say is, as my father would say, and I always leave the show before I thank John, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. Those words, I'm telling you, thank God he said them to me. It resonates probably every hour in my head, or maybe less. It's incredible. John, thanks for being on the show. Another killer show, brother.
Hey, appreciate it so much. Had a great time.
And it's always good to have you here, and you're always welcome in my family. So before we sign off, be a steward of strength. And don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. That's very important. Participate. Get in, teach, and also tell 100 of your friends, because this big tank is coming, and we are going to get you regardless. So John will be on with us next month. So for John Bruni, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. Be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader. Thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.